Scripture reading this morning will come from Luke, the 18th chapter. I'll be reading verses 26 through 29. And they that heard it said, "Who then can be saved?" And he said, "The things which are impossible with men are possible with God." Then Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or parents, or brethren, or wife, or children, for the kingdom of God's sake."
I need you all to keep Sister Willie in our prayers. She was taken to the hospital earlier this week. She's had some problems breathing, and she's not doing really well, but we really need to. Today she turned 97. So she's battling right now, to be perfectly honest with you all. Hopefully in a few days she'll be back to see her heart doctor, and they can give her some answers. But she's struggling to breathe. She gets out of breath very easily. She is in constant pain from the time that she fell, and also, you know, from when she broke her hip. That has not ever gotten 100%. So please keep Sister Willie in our prayers. Very much so. How many times this week did you give God the opportunity to bless you? I think oftentimes we fail to realize that it is us that holds the keys to unlock the doors of opportunity. God knows what is on the other side of those doors. But God is not going to open those doors for us. Luke 1, verse 37, Jesus said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Of all of God's creation, God made us special. But He made us special in a peculiar way. He gave us power to choose. This freedom offers us the ability to say yes or no in any issue before God. But our answer is going to require of us an explanation come that day of judgment. We are going to have to give an account for every choice that we make in this life. We can overrule, we can circumvent all of the divine help if we so desire. We can do like so many are today, do it our way, period. That I don't need help, I can do it just fine by myself. But when we do this, we limit God. We do not give Him the opportunity to bless us or to save us. How often do we dispose ourselves against God and attempt to run the affairs of our lives? Jeremiah wrote in Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 that the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah, of course, was trying to get Israel to stop making the choices they were making. Inch by inch, foot by foot, they were separating themselves from God. They were going to be able, on their own, control their destiny. Well, they certainly did. But even with these warnings, we still oftentimes will not allow God the opportunity to guide us by His Word. So I was mentioning the whole history of man is full of examples of man's arrogance toward God. And every example that you find shows a terrible consequence of turning on the Creator. You look just before the flood in Genesis chapter 6 and verses 4 through 6, it tells us the condition of the world in that time. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men. That is, the offspring of Adam and Eve and the offspring of Cain. And they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw the wickedness that was in the earth, and man was great. And every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Can you see it today? Just turn on the evening news. Can you see it today? The evil around the world, the evil in this own nation. Have we made any progress since the days of Noah? Because in verse 6 it said that God repented that he had made man on the earth. And they paid for that wickedness. God destroyed them. And then we go a few generations past that, we come to Pharaoh. Moses, he represented God. And he had requested that certain privileges be extended to the Hebrew nation. And Pharaoh said in Exodus 5 and 2, "Who is the Lord that I should hearken to his voice to let Israel go?" Then he says something very profound. "I don't know the Lord, neither will I let this people go." The most powerful man in the world at that time. No power on the face of the earth was greater than Egypt. And Pharaoh was flaunting his power before God. And by rejecting God, if Pharaoh would have left the children of Israel go, his kingdom may have remained. But he did not give God the opportunity to bless him. His country was destroyed. But you would think God's people would have better sense. They were blessed beyond measure. They were given their independence from Egypt. God finally were able to place them in the land flowing with milk and honey. But in Deuteronomy 6, God warned them in verses 10 through 12, "And it shall be when the Lord shall have brought thee into the land which he swore unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and good cities, which you didn't build, and houses full of good things, which you didn't fill, vineyards, olive trees, which you didn't plant. And when you have eaten of these things, you're full." And then he says, "Beware lest you forget the Lord, which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Four 400 years ago, people came to this land, right here. Not right here, but into this country, into this hemisphere. A land that was flowing with milk and honey. everything to feed a nation, to support a nation, was right here. Men and women who had a deep devotion to God, that wanted to be able to worship Him and not a ruler. Look at us today. Look at us today. We have to fight as Christians to maintain our rights to worship God. We can see America in the same light that David wrote of Israel in the 106th Psalm. In verses 12 through 15, David said, "They soon forgot his works. They waited not on his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request and sent leanness into their souls." Brethren, we've got a leanness in our souls today. Maybe not so much of those of us here today, but in our nation, extremely lean. There's no fat left on the bones. So many today are confused and bewildered. We've got so many problems, we have no clue how to fix them. The answers are not there. We can go to libraries filled with books and open up every book and know there will be no solution in those books. There will be a lot of good opinions, but not a lot of fixes. Too many today have given over their lives to others to fix their problems. They've turned from God. They've turned from His answers. Or they don't even seek Him at all. Paul in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, he wrote, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" We are always that far away from annihilation today. My fingers are touching. It's always just around the corner. And about the time that we resolve one issue, 40 more pop up. People all over this country are in despair. These past few weeks, one disaster after another. And your hearts pour out to those who have suffered so much. But I think back long before we were in this land of what the natives of this land went through when they went through the same thing. Where was their relief? Who helped them? Today, we're never alone. If we get lonely, usually within our pocket is a means of talking to someone. But yet, because we're not alone, we are the loneliest of God's creatures because we fail to give Him opportunities to help us. We oftentimes effectively close God's mouth when we refuse to open His book. For every problem that plagues man, the answer is right there. We allow the pressures of this world to overtake us oftentimes. It has been said that man's extremity becomes God's opportunity. what this means is that oftentimes it's not until we are down on our knees and on our face that we finally turn to God. That when all other hope has left, this is the only one left. Why do we always turn to Him last instead of first? We have to give God an opportunity to hear our prayers. We have to give Him the opportunity to answer our prayers. The lame man in John chapter 9, he was told to give an account of what happened. Jesus healed him. He healed him on the Sabbath. And they were grilling this man, and they wanted to know how he was healed. Because he was lame, they assumed that he was a sinner. God doesn't answer prayers to sinners. He says so much here. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and does His will, He hears him. You see, this lame man got it when the scribes and the Pharisees didn't. Because while they pretended to be God's servants, they were so far from God. If we want to give God a chance, we have to come into a relationship with Him so that He can bless us. All spiritual blessings are in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. It is imperative that we do all that is commanded for salvation, not just the five steps, but living that life, living the life that the Bible wants us to live. We can give God the opportunity by being obedient to Him, and He will bless us. You know, we hear an awful lot today about the poor in our nation. We got to do more and more and more to help the poor. But if you were to take the poorest of our nation and put them in some of these other countries, they'd be upper middle class. Can you imagine your whole annual salary of less than $100 and living on that and raising a family and having a place to live and putting food in your stomach? Can you imagine that? Here, several years ago, there was an advertisement about a book that was coming on sale by some guy. I can't remember the author. Can't even remember the name of the book. But somewhere along the way, he says he has figured out a secret code within the Bible that'll make people rich. I'd venture to say that the only one getting rich was him, selling the book. Nowhere in God's Word does He tell us how to get rich. But He tells us how to be rich. Malachi 3. Your outline says 8. When it printed out, it must have been a mirror there and got the other 3. But it's Malachi 3 in verses 8 through 10. You know, Israel had this same problem that many have today. But God said, and Malachi wrote here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in your house. And prove to me, saith the Lord host, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. When we look at being rich today, almost all the time it centers around what we have physically. Very few today count what they have spiritually as riches. There are good, solid Christians who are poor. But if you tell them that they're poor, they're kind of like, who, me? I'm not poor. They look at their riches differently than most of humanity. We have people that go out there and say, you need to take from these folks that have and give to the ones that don't have. You need to be equal. But we're not. We're not equal. We will never be equal. But one thing we can be equal in, and that's our love of the Lord and our devotion to Him. You know, in this scripture, God's promised that there wouldn't be stacking room in the biggest building in the world for all the blessings that He will bestow on them if they would give Him the opportunity to bless. Jesus promised the same thing in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For the same measure that you give, it shall be measured again to you. Jesus isn't talking just about money. He's talking about us. What we give to the Lord, we're going to get back. And our storehouse will not be able to hold the blessings that we will receive. Seek first the kingdom of God. Matthew 6, verse 33. And His righteousness. All these things shall be given unto you. Be added to you. We must be sincere in giving God the opportunity. Now, we can try to fake our way through it if we want to. We can maybe fool our family and friends, but there's no fooling God Almighty. We are not in this world to become rich in material things. It's my prayer that all of us here know where our riches truly lie. We need to be sincere in giving God the opportunity to bless us, to give us the riches that will not tarnish, rust, or go away. If you are toiling under burdens of doubts, if there is dread in your life, if there are things that you are fearing today, why not give God the opportunity to help you? You are invited by Jesus. The best invitation that I can give is spoken by Jesus in Matthew 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Jesus didn't say the preacher will give you rest, or your mother or father will give you rest, or your wife or your husband will give you rest, but He will give you rest. Why do you try to carry your burdens alone when Jesus is there to help carry the load. Humble yourselves before the almighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due time. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So you can stop this day the worry and the fret and the fuming by the troubles of life that's facing you. Maybe you've tried everything else. Now's the time to try him. If you're not a child of God, why don't you give God the opportunity this morning to bless you? By obeying the gospel, by being added to his church through repentance and confession and being baptized for the remission of sins. It's how you become a child of God. That's how you are added to his church. Then you can begin that long journey of building up your temple, a temple that God would be proud of, a temple, a spiritual temple. We take that journey together, all of us, as we try to help one another receive that final blessing of a home in heaven. If there's anyone with a need this morning, we want to give you that opportunity as together we stand and we sing.